Thanks for joining us here for the Portland Christian Center podcast. The following message is from guest speaker and church planter Luke Reed. In the beginning of 2011, Luke Reed and a group of others will begin helping people in our community through a new church called Resound Church. He has an important message for the church. Now here's Luke.
So I want you to put your hands together and welcome Pastor Luke as he comes to share with us this morning.
Well, good morning. I have to say what an honor it is to be here. We are so glad that we could be here. My wife is here, but she had to go out. She got buzzed because one of our kids is playing up maybe. But we are so honored to be here, and we want to thank you so much for allowing us to be here. This is a phenomenal church. And Pastor Ray and Linda, thank you so much for this opportunity. Can I tell you, churches don't do this. Churches don't let church planters to come in and share. It just doesn't happen. But praise God, there is a church in Portland, Oregon that is a missional heart in Jesus' name. And I want to congratulate you on being an incredible church in terms of giving and generosity. $1 million, I think that is unbelievable. And you're a great church, and I think you should be congratulated. And I think we should celebrate. It's not arrogance, it's celebration. And so thank you very much. Well, let's pray, and then we'll get into the Word. Thank you, Father. Father, thank you so much that we can come together and just dig into your Word. Lord, we just praise your name. We bless your name. We thank you that your Word has power. And we just pray that you touch lives today. I pray that we'll never be the same again because of the power of what you're doing by the power of your Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, I'm originally from Australia. Actually, I was born in New Zealand, grew up in Australia, and I'm now in America. I don't really know who I am. And I have two little daughters. They're Americans. We call them Aus-Ericans. And so my wife is also from Australia. She was born in Australia from a lineage of convicts. But I did marry her. But she's a lovely lady. She's an awesome woman of God. She was an interior designer in Sydney. And we were a part of a great church in Sydney. We were a part of Hillsong Church. And then we went to Inspire Church, which is in the southwest of Sydney. And Inspire Church is a phenomenal church that actually Brian Houston himself planted. John McMartin took it over. A church of about 4,500 people. And I was one of the speaking pastors there. And we really felt called to move to the States, and an opportunity came up in Iowa. And have any of you been to Iowa? Have you heard of Iowa? It's in the middle of America somewhere. A lot of snow and corn. And so we felt to move out there. It's a great church. It's an AG church of about 2,500 people Sunday morning. A great, great church, actually. And the pastor is a great friend of mine. And we went out there, and we felt like God had called us to there for about 5 years. And we had really processed what the next step was. And the Holy Spirit spoke to us very clearly about planting a church. And we had spent some time on this because it's really, you want to make sure you go to the right place. You want to make sure you're called if you're doing this. And what you don't want to do is go plant a church because it's a cute idea. What you don't want to do is just because it's the next cool thing to do. And so we went out and we planted a church, or we felt to plant a church, but we had no direction in terms of the city. And so we were praying and asking God, what's the next step? Where do we go? And as we were praying, God spoke to me about coming to Portland, Oregon, at least the metro area. And it was kind of an interesting phase because I had never actually stepped foot in the city at that time. And so I didn't know what was here. I knew it rained a lot, but that was about the extent of it. And so we had really processed, God, what is it? What's is it really? Is this you? Is your hand in this? My wife started to pray as well, and she got a word from God. Yeah, this is it. We got a green light. And for me, it was of high value that my wife heard from God in this. I believe that it's very important to be in partnership as a family for these sort of decisions. Plus, when things get bad, I don't want it to be my fault. Amen? And so that's kind of the journey. And we stepped out in faith. We We had a team from out there, about 8 people that came over, and really about, I think it was in about July when we actually moved here. We sat in our apartment and kind of scratched our heads saying, God, what's the next step? And we just began to pray and talk and plan and prepare, and really with nothing, just with faith. And there's 8 of us just there in this living room, and we decided we're going to go out and impact our world for Jesus. And we began to lead people to Jesus outside coffee shops and Chipotles, and really seen lives transformed. I want to say we've seen about 35 to 40 decisions for Christ since then. And we haven't even started services officially. We haven't launched weekly services yet. And so we've just kind of seen miracles happen, God do incredible things, and our launch team has grown a bit. We have an incredible worship team and children's ministry, our youth ministry's launching, and God has really done some great things. And truly, He has blessed the faith step. We had our Christmas Eve service on Friday night, and I want to say we had over 120 people there. And we launch on January 23rd. We haven't even started yet officially. And so God is doing something incredible. But our heartbeat is not, we're the next big thing. Our heartbeat is truly stepping out in obedience. You know, our job isn't to be the answer to all the other church's problems. We just want to touch a world for Jesus. We haven't approached this in terms of we're going in as the victim church planters. We believe that we're called to victorious living. I believe that we're called to be overcomers, and so our approach to this has not been a victim mentality. We haven't walked in this approaching the Beaverton, Hillsborough area as, man, we're going to get a city. We believe we already have one. And so we're believing as we step into it, we're walking into what God has got for us. And so I want to thank you so much for this opportunity, and that's kind of a little background before I open the word. But I want to encourage you to keep praying for us and believing for us as we step out in faith in Jesus' name. Well, if you have your words with me, turn with me to Esther. Everyone say Esther. Say it like an Aussie, Esther. Or Esther. You know, the word but is an interesting word, isn't it? It's a fascinating word to me because it's a word that is used for contrast. For instance, you would say of somebody, that person there is not the sharpest tool in the shed, but he can really play football. Use it for contrast, right? Man, that person, he's not so good at sports, but he's very intelligent. That person's not so good, but they have a good heart. Often we use it as a contrasting statement. But also the word but is a redefining word. It's a word that we use for what was and what then becomes. You once were lost, but now you're found. I was once sick, but now I'm healed. My family didn't know Jesus, but my whole household is saved in Jesus' name. The word but is a significant word. It's a redefining word. And I believe that when we understand the power of the but, that we understand that our mission is to be somewhat of the but to this world. Let me turn that to Esther, chapter 4, verse 12. It says, when Esther's words were reported to Mordecai, Esther was a woman of faith. Esther was a woman who was literally selected to be the king's wife for no other reason than really she won a beauty pageant of potentially thousands of women that this king selected this one woman to be his wife, Esther. He had got rid of his old wife. His name was King Xerxes. And his wife, Vashti, she had offended him, and so she got rid of him. And then he created the search for America's top model of really what was, I'm searching for another wife. And he searched the whole kingdom for one person, and this became Esther. Now, there was a plot to kill Esther's generation and people who were the Jews. And as this plot unfolded, Mordecai, who was Esther's uncle or adoptive father, makes the statement to Esther because she was in this royal position and she had a voice. She was in a place of influence because she was queen of this whole kingdom. And it says, when Esther's words were reported to Mordecai, he sent back this answer. Do not think that because you are in the king's house, you alone of all the Jews will escape. For if you remain silent at this time, relief and deliverance for the Jews will arise from another place. But you and your father's family will perish. And who knows but that you have come to a royal position for such a time as this. So Mordecai was saying, you thought that you had, you thought you just won a beauty pageant. But the reality is this, is there is a plan to kill your generation. But who knows that you've been raised for such a time as this? It's more than you just randomly being chosen. There is a divine purpose to what you have done and gone through. The Bible says in Romans 8:28, for God will work all things together for the good of those that believe or love God and are called according to his purpose. So in your life, you might wonder, why have I gone through the financial challenges I've gone through? The sickness, that spouse that maybe left you. Maybe a challenging situation in your life. You wonder why did this happen? I believe there is a redefining point in your life, and it is for such a time as this. I believe those things you went through were for a but, for a redefining moment, for such a time as this. Your broken life is a little piece of the mosaic that God calls the kingdom of heaven. And I believe God wants to use the challenges, the good things, the bad things, for such a time as this. Turn with me to Acts chapter 12 and verse 5. It says, so Peter was kept in prison, but the church was earnestly praying to God for him. So Peter was in prison, but the church was praying. Now, this is a significant message. Because there was a problem, Peter being in prison, not because he didn't pay some fines or because he was tax fraud, but he was preaching the gospel. And the Bible says that he was sent to prison. He was in prison, but the church were praying. There was a problem, but the church was praying. Can I tell you, you are the redefining point to the problem in this world. Now, I'm excited by that message. The quieter you are, the longer I'll preach. So, can I get an amen? So let me repeat this. Here we have the problem, Peter being in prison. But the church was praying. Do you know we have a problem in our world today? We have lost people in this city and around the world. We have an issue with homelessness, with people needing food. We have problems in Ethiopia. We have problems around the world. But there is a church praying in Portland, Oregon called Portland Christian Center. There are churches that are needed to be planted in Ethiopia. But there is a church in Portland, Oregon praying in Jesus' name and sending and believing. See, there is a problem, but I believe the church is the answer. There is a problem maybe in your world. Maybe you have unsaved family members, but there is a church praying. There may be cancer and sickness, but I believe the answer is a church of God that will rise up and say, we are going to be a people of prayer. What's interesting is this. As it goes on and Peter miraculously gets set free and an angel comes down and this and opens the doors and he gets totally set free. And the Bible goes on to say this, that Peter, after he was set free, the first thing he did is he thought, I'm going to go to the house where people are praying. So it goes on to this in verse 12. It says, when this had dawned on him, he went to the house of Mary, the mother of John, also called Mark, where many people had gathered and were praying. Peter knocked at the outer entrance, and a servant girl named Rhoda, a lovely name for a daughter if you haven't chose one, Rhoda, came to answer the door. She recognized Peter's voice. She was so overjoyed, she ran back without opening and exclaimed, "Peter is at the door." "You're out of your mind," they told her. When she kept insisting that it was so, they said it must be an angel. Now, let's take a look at how absurd this is. Because Peter is in prison, but the church is praying. As they're praying, the Bible says that an angel came down, opened the doors, and then he was set free. So he decides, "I'm going to go to the place where people are praying." He turns up, and a servant girl called Rhoda opens the door. Actually, the Bible says she didn't even open it. She was so excited. Now, the disciples' response was so interesting. Because when Rhoda comes back, I kind of picture Rhoda to be like a 15-year-old excitable girl. Like, "Peter's here," you know? She's running back and she's like, "You won't believe what just happened." And these disciples look at her like she's crazy. And they're like, "No way. There is no possible way that that is Peter." What it is, God sent an angel that sounds like Peter, looks like Peter, but there is no way that what we have been praying for actually came true. No way. It's amazing how we can actually pray for things that we don't expect. I remember one of my leaders came to me a few years ago, and she said to me, "Luke, I've been diagnosed with cancer." A 23-year-old young girl that she just got married, and it was pretty devastating news for such a young, for anyone, but for someone so young. And so we began to pray for her. And she went to the doctors for a checkup and got an x-ray and had the examination, and the doctor said, "Yeah, it's just as bad, if not a little worse, and we need to go ahead with chemotherapy and different things." And she just felt in God that God was going to heal her. And we truly began to pray. She hopped in a car and she said she felt like God tell her, "Go back in, I want you to take another examination." And she's wrestling with this because of how stupid she'll look, you know. And so she goes back in and she just feels like the Holy Spirit speak to her and working on her. And she says to the doctor, "Look, I want to have another examination." And the doctor was kind of a little bit demeaning. You know, kind of, that's cute faith, but it's just a waste of resource because nothing's happening. Praise God, we serve a God that is much greater than any doctor. They might have incredible facts, but we have faith. Facts might be that she has cancer, but the truth is she's healed in Jesus' name. And we believe that. She went back in and had this examination, and the doctor's jaw just dropped. And said, "You are completely cancer-free." She came back with two x-rays showing one with cancer and one without. Can I tell you, there is a problem in our world, but there is a church that is praying. And I believe that when we not just pray cute prayers of hope, but true prayers of faith that say, I am not just praying with a hope mentality that that will be nice if it happens, but faith, which says I've got certainty about my prayer. And let's pray with faith. Let's believe in Jesus' name that we can be the butt to the world in Jesus' name. You are the redefining point of this world. Hebrews 11, verse 1, it says, faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of the things unseen. It then goes on to talk about the different men and women of God throughout the Old Testament that were people that believed and had faith in God. And what the first person listed is a person called Abel. And the Bible says that Abel gave an offering. That he gave with such faith that it speaks even though he is dead. Now think about that concept. Think how incredible that is. That you can give an offering that speaks beyond geography and beyond time. That what we do here, literally, speaks. It's a message. See, too often what happens with us is we allow the world to speak to us. Is we're concerned with what everyone thinks, and we're worried about the economy and what CNN says and what Fox News says, and we're worried about this and that. And I believe God wants us to have a kingdom mentality that says, we don't want this generation to speak to us. I believe God has called us to speak to this generation. God has called us to be the redefining point in this world. I was in India recently, and I was there twice last year. And India is a very interesting place. A country that has just got every extreme. It's unbelievable. But we did a number of things over there, from seeing people one to Jesus to speaking into schools, work with orphanages. But probably the most significant thing that we did was we went to the slum ministry. That was absolutely filthy. This slum is literally just what we would say is like a garbage dump. It's all the trash of Delhi comes to this one point, and people build homes in these places. Then they sort through the trash at a young age. They sort through the trash and they try to find food or they find scrap to sell. I mean, it's just devastating. There's flies everywhere. It's stinky. It's nasty. It's quite horrible, and my delicate nose, it wasn't very nice. But the reality is, we went in, and it absolutely broke my heart. Now, I've been all over the world. I've been to places like Indonesia and different places in Malaysia and Thailand, but I had never seen anything like this. And there was a man there called Pastor Joseph who built a slum ministry where he built a school. And it was a school where they educated these kids. Gave them all of them get a school uniform, and they love it. Just hundreds of kids packed into the small area. And I walked in, and I've got young children, so for me, it was heartbreaking seeing these young children. I think for really anybody, it's heartbreaking. Seeing these children that really have so much neglect because of society and because of the Hindu religion of they're kind of born into a certain area in life where they can't go beyond it. And so they're born and they're kind of expected to be poor their whole life. And so we went in, it was absolute poverty. And Pastor Joseph, he told me that the Hindus came in and they were so angry that this had happened, that Christians were coming in and they were teaching and feeding and helping these people, that they actually have bulldozed the place down twice. He's been beaten 3 times, imprisoned once. Pastor Joseph was a man that was an orphan himself, got out of poverty to go back to minister to the people he came from. And he said to me, Luke, we're having to shut this place down. And I'm thinking, you've endured bulldozers, beatings, imprisonment. What on earth could possibly shut this place down? He said, we're running out of water. The person that supplies us with water, his well has dried up. And so he can't give us any more. And I said, well, how much will it cost to fix this problem, to get a well dug? And because of his humility, he didn't want to share because he didn't want to seem like he was begging. So I found out from one of the U.S. missionaries that were there and asked him, look, how much will it cost to get this built? He said $1,000 to feed thousands of people in that area and to educate hundreds of these young children. Because without water, they can't clean, they can't feed, you can't have a program without water. And so we walked away and we just began to seriously weep. Not me, because I'm a tough guy. But it just broke our hearts. And I talked to the team and said, look, we can't possibly say that we love Jesus and not do anything about this, knowing what we know. So the team, there was 12 of us, we put about, I think it was like $80 or $90, and we got $1,000 together, and we built a well. I tell you, it was one of the most spiritual things I've ever done. God cares about the poor. God values the homeless, the orphan, the widows. Can I tell you, when we stopped over in Frankfurt, we're flying with Lufthansa, and this is kind of what I think, it was like a statement from God. Lufthansa, they said, look, we've oversold our flights, the seats, and we need to get seats. And they said, look, if you catch a flight 3 or 4 hours later, we'll give you each $800 US each. Now I've traveled the world and I know that doesn't happen, right? Isn't it amazing that just a couple of days earlier we gave $80, $85? Then we each get tenfold what we gave, $850. God values the poor. If you don't believe me, give to the poor and see what happens in your life. Watch the blessing and how you're changed, not just financially, but just how it changes you. But let me say this. We gave to this ministry in India. Because there was a problem. And it just so happens at that point in time, we were there ready to be the butt. And because we chose to be the butt, we had the money, the time, we were there and with a missional mindset to build. We literally, right now, are feeding thousands of people and giving hundreds of young people an education and giving water to many people. We were the butt to their problem. There is a problem in our world. But there is a church praying. We are stepping out and planting a church in the Tannisbourne area. But can I tell you something? But there is a church here in Portland, Oregon that is standing and praying with us, believing with us that we can see a city won in Jesus' name. There is people all around the world, people in Ethiopia, people globally in this city, all around that have need, hurt, and pain. There are widows. There are people that are waiting for you to be the but. Can I tell you, God has brought you to this point, this place, for such a time as this. You thought you moved here because of Intel or Nike or whatever it is, or just because you like the donuts, whatever it is, that you are here for purpose. You are here for such a time as this. It's not because you were just born here. There is so much more destiny involved than that. In Romans 8:28, as I shared earlier, that verse says all things work together. That word is a word that means in partnership, the good, the bad. Your whole life has come to this point. To redefine this world. To redefine your world. I believe God wants to use you powerfully. I got to tell you, when I walked into this church last year, or about a year ago, I just had an incredible sense of destiny on this church. That this is a missional, without even knowing the stats of what you were doing, this is a church that is called to be a but church. This is a church that is called to be the but of this world. Now, you came to church not thinking you'd probably be called the butt of this world, I'm sure. But in this time, I want to invite you to believe with us that we can truly touch a city in Jesus' name. That we can see more people saved, lives changed, and people impacted for the kingdom. Well, I'm going to close up right now, and I want to invite you to close your eyes and bow your head. And right now, I want to invite you to think about where you're at spiritually. And I want to ask you a question. Where are you at with God? It's a simple question. I don't think it's a complex question. It really is a valuable question, though. It's not saying if you had a bad week or a bad day. It's more about your condition spiritually. Are you right with Jesus? If you're not, I just believe that you came here this morning for such a time as this. There is a sense of destiny. You thought it was because your family or friends invited you. Can I tell you it is much more than that? If you are not right with Jesus, maybe you've walked away from God and you've let things slip. And again, I'm not talking about a bad day. I'm talking about a bad spiritual condition. Things are off kilter. Well, secondly, maybe you've never known Jesus. You've known about him. You've heard the Christmas story and whatnot. A lot of people know about him, but that doesn't mean you know them. If you're here this morning and you say, Luke, I want to get my life right with Jesus this morning. I'm not going to embarrass you. I'm not going to make a spectacle of you. I just want to pray with you. And if that is you and you're in the house and you're saying, Luke, you're speaking right to me. I need to get my life right. If that is you without hesitation, I want to invite you to lift your hand. Lift your hand so I know to pray for you. Thank you. Who else? Come on, let's respond to Jesus. If this is you, slip up your hand and lift it so I can see it. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Who else? Thank you very much. There's a number of you. Keep it up so I can see it. I don't want to miss anybody. Thank you. Anyone in the balcony? I'm looking up in the balcony. If this is you, thank you very much. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Praise God. If this is you, come on, don't hesitate and put off tomorrow what God wants you to do today. Respond to him now. This is probably one of the most important points in the service. It's you getting right with Jesus. If that's you, I'm going to close in just a moment. I don't want you to miss out on this. Thank you very much. Anybody else? Thank you. Thank you. Praise God. Praise God. There's a number of you. Can you all put your hands up? If you put your hand up, can you put your hand up again so I can see it one more time? Praise God. There is a number of you. Praise Jesus. And I want to invite you to pray a prayer that we're all going to pray together so you're not alone in this. We're going to say it, but truly mean it. Don't just repeat what I say. Mean it from your heart. Truly say, God, this is my heart, my cry to you in Jesus' name. So church, let's pray together. Dear Lord Jesus, I invite you into my life to change me, to make me new. Lord, I turn from my old ways and I turn to you. I thank you for dying for me. But God, I will live for you with everything I am and everything I have. It's yours. And in Jesus' name, I'm a new creation. I'll never be the same again. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Let's give God a shout of praise. Well, church, thank you very much. You are an incredible church, and what an honor it is to have brought the word to you. And my prayer is that God would speak to you. And Pastor, can I pray over them just very quickly? And let's pray right now. I'm going to pray that you'll be the butt of this world. You'll be the redefining point of this world. So feel free to lift your hands as I pray over you. And let's just believe together that God will do something powerful over you in this next coming year in Jesus' name. Father, I just pray for each person here. We just pray, Father, that they will have an incredible encounter experience with you. Give us a revelation of who we are as the church, that truly we are the redefining point of this world. When you think of touching the world, we know that your heartbeat is to use the church. That the church is your answer. A praying, believing church. And Lord, we don't just think it's a nice idea. We have faith for it. We are expecting great things in Jesus' name. I pray a blessing over your church that we'll be the head and not the tail. That God, in our world, in our family, in our workplace, that God, we will see things redefined in Jesus' name. That when everyone else is being negative, that God, we will shine your light. That God, when everybody else around us is walking and they're not walking in integrity, that God, we will be people of character. In your name, Lord Jesus, may we go out and continue to be a missional church. In Jesus' name, we thank you for what you've done. But I thank you that next year is going to be even better. In Jesus' mighty name, we thank you for what you've done and what you're doing. Amen. Let's give God a shout of praise. Thank you, church. Bless you.
Thank you for listening to the Portland Christian Center podcast featuring our guest speaker, Luke Reed. If you live in the Portland area and are looking for a place to connect, please join us this coming Sunday. For more information about our service times and about our church, visit us online at www.pcctoday.com.